Hey y'all, welcome back to Put It In Your Pocket, your source for all niche music trivia. My name's Caroline, and today I'm so excited to be talking about the Beach Boys again. Welcome back to part two of the Beach Boys saga. I'm so excited to get into all of the good, juicy drama between the band members. This is where we really get into the catfights and the good stuff, get into some crazy stories. You know, we're going to see some interesting tales come out of the 70s and 80s for sure. So I'm excited to talk about that. And my favorite part, the happy ending. We're going to talk about the legacy that the Beach Boys left us, all the amazing artists that we love that they helped inspire, just all of that good stuff. We're going to wrap it up. So it does have a happy ending. Just stick with me through the rough times and we'll all be fine. Like I said, we got to start with some rough times, specifically in the aftermath of Pet Sounds. The Beach Boys are going to try and replicate, you know, it's a tale as old as time in music history. They're going to try and replicate their greatest album, and the failure of that is going to be pretty devastating, and it's going to fragment them in a way that's kind of going to last a few decades, honestly. So they're going to try and follow up Pet Sounds. Specifically, Brian Wilson is going to try and follow up Pet Sounds and make it better than Sgt. Pepper's, like he tried to make Pet Sounds better than Rubber Soul, you know, and he succeeded with that. But we're going to get into 1967, and he's on drugs regularly, and that's causing a lot of issues. Carl Wilson has received his draft notice, which is really stressing him out. He's going to end up going through a lot of legal battles, showing up to court, all of this stuff, trying to get out of that, which he eventually does, but it takes him about like 5 to 6 years. Really not until the war's over is he ever safe from that. So that's going to be a huge stressor for him, and he's not going to be as present in the band because of all of those things. And Dennis is also drinking and on drugs, and he's never able to fully get out from under that either. So he's really going to struggle with that part for the rest of his life. And so the Wilson brothers are really, you know, they were the heart of the band at the beginning, and now they're really kind of splitting apart because of all these different things. But in classic Beach Boys fashion, they're able to overcome all these things and still put out an album. Their 12th album, their follow-up to Pet Sounds, is in 1967, and it's called Smiley Smile. And it doesn't even peak, y'all. It kind of limps to 41st on the Billboard charts. It, like, takes it a minute to get there, which was pretty much unheard of. It's the lowest chart placement for the Beach Boys at this time. So before then, everything was shooting straight up, you know. And then, of course, Pet Sounds had great, you know, critical and commercial success. And so for their follow-up to that to do so poorly, it was really a shock to them and also a shock to their label. And so this is kind of going to cause a lot of other issues because of the pressure of trying to follow up Pet Sounds that doesn't really happen. But it is, interestingly, the first album to credit the Beach Boys directly as a producer. Carl Wilson kept on stepping up and saying, you know, we're all one big band, Brian. Why won't you credit us as a producer, Brian? And so finally he threw them a bone. I don't think this was the album to do it on. And maybe you'll see what I mean when I play you the track that I've chosen from this album called Vegetables. And just like Surfing, Vegetables is about, you know, what its title says. It's just about vegetables. And we could have a whole spiel on here about, you know, hidden meanings, metaphors, layers, you know, all these fan theories about what this album is and what this song may be. But I think it's just so much fun to listen to a 2-minute song about vegetables. There's chewing noises. There's bags wrinkling. There's talks about carrots and celery. It's just such a good time. And it's a great song about vegetables. We need more of those in the music world, I think. So give Vegetables a listen. and I think it'll give you a taste for, you know, Smiley Smile and its lack of Pet Sounds likeness. That's how I'll put that. My favorite line in this is, if you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you'd toss me a carrot. Wow, what poetry from the Wilson brothers on this track. Give it a listen, you're gonna love it.
1, 2, 3.
I'm gonna be around my vegetables. I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you'd toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables, cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. 'cause I'm so embarrassed. I know that you feel better when you send us in your letter and tell us the name of your favorite vegetable. I know that you feel better when you send us in your letter and tell us the name of your favorite vegetable.
I wasn't kidding about it being about vegetables, was I? I hope you can learn to trust me after that track. It does get better. It gets better, I promise. But I had to show that to you guys. It's just too good. So now we're moving into 1968, a year later, when, you know, you might be thinking, hey, their label's going to put more pressure on them to do better. We're going to try and follow up Pet Sounds again. You know, we're going to really put our nose to the grindstone here and start getting serious. That is the opposite of what happens. The Beach Boys are now booked for a tour of the American South. The American South in 1968, mind you, okay? And so the last thing that I think these people would want to see is the Beach Boys team up with their opening act, an Indian meditation guru. So instead of hearing I Get Around, you know, and fun, these poor audience members are going to be whacked in the face with Dennis Wilson in a sari and a meditation guru talking to them about, you know, their Eastern way of living and how they need to improve that. So naturally the tour does not sell well, and you know, these sold out stadiums that they had booked are falling apart. The tour ends up getting canceled about halfway through. Who could guess why, right? And so obviously this is also going to cause a wedge between the band, because no one's going to leave halfway through a tour because it sells so poorly and just like be loving on each other. So they're really stressed about that as well. At the same time, in 1968, Charles Manson is living with Dennis Wilson for a good chunk of that year. Dennis was super into the free love movement, and at this time Charles Manson was just a musician, obviously. And so Dennis Wilson actually gave him a place to stay. He actually rewrote Manson's song Never Learn Not to Love and put it on their 1969 album 2020. So the Beach Boys have a Manson song in their discography. Put that in your pocket. So a lot of, again, interesting things happening here. So that's 1968. And we're going to go into the 70s now. And the 70s are a very interesting time for the Beach Boys, because they're kind of stuck between trying to be this nostalgia act and play off of, you know, their old classic Beach Boys hits. But they're also at the same time trying to be this like hip, long haired kind of free love band, which is strange. And so obviously that doesn't go well together. And so I think that it definitely would have served them a lot better to just go ahead and, you know, be whoever they are. Are they a nostalgia act? Do they want to play off of that, you know? Or are they moving away from that and they're, you know, trying to identify themselves as a completely new band? But they can't quite pick one. And I think this time period in the 70s is partially why we don't have a good, well-rounded view of the Beach Boys even today, because they always had one foot in the door of the nostalgia act thing. And so we still see them now as this, you know, again, bee-woppy, doo-woppy mop top group, you know, because they were never able to fully pull themselves away from it. I think audiences were ready for that, but they didn't trust that they were. So I think this is definitely a good lesson in authenticity and, you know, moving forward in spite of, you know, your success at the beginning, because I think it does cause some issues later with their image. So they're kind of stuck between those two things, or in limbo. Different members of the band have different opinions on what they should be doing. And their next few albums, Sunflower, Surf's Up, they're fan favorites, and they're like pretty well received, but they're not chart toppers. They're not doing very well. Brian Wilson is really fading from the band at this point. He ends up actually running his car into a telephone pole during the Holland sessions. We'll talk about the album Holland here in a minute, because he's high. He actually, one of my favorite Brian Wilson stories is that one day he went on a bender for 24 hours at his piano. He's at his piano trying to write, you know, the next great American symphony, as Brian Wilson often does. And his wife comes downstairs the next morning and finds that he has ordered tow trucks to bring tons of sand around his piano so he can be inspired while he writes. So hopefully she wasn't the one that had to vacuum up the tons of sand. I feel like they probably would have had a housekeeper at this time. I feel so bad for whoever actually had to clean that mess up. But that is one of my favorite Brian Wilson stories, because it's so Brian Wilson. So this is the type of eccentricity that we're dealing with here. Everybody's definitely not at their greatest mental performance. But despite all of this and Brian Wilson not having much to do with the project, Tom Petty will go on to say that Holland is a great case for the Beach Boys being more than Brian Wilson's backup singers, which is a really interesting quote. And it definitely shed some light on an album that I had kind of like tossed aside as, you know, like, it's fine, but, you know, Brian's not on it. And I think we can get so caught up in, because I love Brian Wilson, I mean, who doesn't? We can get so caught up in talking about him and his genius that we don't give enough credit to the rest of the Beach Boys, because, I mean, they were doing things. It's not like he's just leading them around doing everything. They were giving ideas. They were helping write songs. So I think that Holland is an interesting album for that reason. I have to agree with Tom Petty. The song that I'm going to play for you off of Holland is a song that you may know. It's called Sail On Sailor, and it has been covered a few times, so you might be familiar with the covers as well. It was released with the album in 1973, and it was the best performing song off the album, but I think it's also a good showcase of the whole record, because it's solid, sounds great, you know, but it's classic Beach Boys in a way that was adapted to fit 1973. You know, it's not 1961 Beach Boys, which is not what we needed, right? And so we're moving away, but we're staying true to ourselves in a way that Brian was not making possible at this time, because he always wants more, 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 crazy, crazy, crazy. He wants vegetables at this time, and the rest of the band is just really fed up with that at this point. So, you know, say what you will about forward progress, but I think this is a good way to kind of bridge that gap. And we'll see them playing into their earlier influences on later tracks that we're going to talk about as well. But give Sail On Sailor a listen. Great track. And I think it's just a good song to have in your pocket, if you will, when talking about the Beach Boys and their 70s discography. So here you go. One of Tom Petty's favorites.
Must I blunder? There's no wonder.
there's Sail on Sailor. Yeah, it's about sailing. There we go. So we're going to move on to 1983. Tragedy is definitely going to hit the band with Dennis Wilson's death. He's going to end up really struggling with his drug addiction later on. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse until one day he ends up diving off his boat while high and never comes back up to the surface. So this is a really big shock to the band. Obviously, a major death like this is going to cause issues, and this is the reason why we don't see a Beach Boys reunion for almost 3 decades. It's pretty bad. Brian Wilson at this point is going to overdose about a year later. He's going to get completely tossed out of the band. Before this, it was all kind of his choice of how involved he was, but the rest of the band is going to say, no, like, we need you to, like, get away. We're not singing Vegetables again. Please get away, Brian. Stop putting sand around our pianos, Brian. Go away. And so he's going to get tossed out of the band. Carl is now the leader, even though for a year and a half after Dennis's death, he wasn't even involved in the band at all. He was completely gone. So that's kind of the point I want to drive home here, is that, like, all of the people that we have stepping in and taking over after Brian is gone, it's not because they're just so excited they've been waiting to take over. It's definitely kind of, you know, who's left and who will lend a hand to create this next album. And that's also an interesting thing with the Beach Boys, is that despite all of these crazy things happening, all of this drama, like, they are always continuously putting out albums. It's amazing. And that's definitely a testament to the time that they came from, because, you know, we talk about Pet Sounds was their 11th studio album, and it came out just 5 years after they started putting things out. That was how fast music used to move. Nowadays, and I'm not saying that's better or worse, but nowadays we get an album every 2 years. That's what we can expect from an artist, right? And about 2 or 3 singles leading up to the album's release. But that's the normal trend, right? So definitely a testament to the time that they came from. This work ethic is a constant throughout their careers, right? But now we're getting to one of my favorite Beach Boys songs, released in 1988, Kokomo. Kokomo is such an interesting song because of the history behind it, but it's also just such a fun track for Beach Boys fans, especially if you like their earlier stuff, because, like I said, it's kind of an evolution of a song like Sail on Sailor, which I mentioned earlier was a good gap or bridge between the gap of, you know, a surfing and a Vegetables, because it harkens back to their early influences and their early singles without relying too heavily on it and being, you know, kind of gimmicky. And Kokomo is the perfect example of that. It's featured in the movie Cocktail. It was actually written for that movie. The music video was filmed at the time newly opened Grand Floridian Hotel at Disney. And it was their first number one single since Good Vibrations in 1966. Y'all, 22 years for them to have a hit single. And the even more interesting thing about Kokomo is that it was made completely without Brian Wilson. In fact, Brian Wilson is going to hear Kokomo for the first time while driving, and he's in the back seat, and it comes on the radio, on the FM radio, and he's going to say to his driver, "This sounds like the Beach Boys." And his driver is going to have to tell him, "Yeah, Brian, it is the Beach Boys." Poor Brian. I mean, although I would say poor Brian, but after years of, you know, being forced to sing songs like Vegetables and, you know, kind of carting them around and, you know, filling living rooms with sand, I think Brian Wilson might be getting as good as he gives at this point. I don't know. That might be an unpopular opinion. I think he might be getting what's been coming to him for a while. But Kokomo is a fictional place. It's not a real place, sadly, but God, do they make you want to go there. They just paint the most beautiful picture in this song. Their voices sound incredible. It's just a fun little Beach Boys song. We love it. Little Caroline trivia. This is the song that I had my first wreck to. So lots of good memories for Kokomo with me. But if you've been in the car with me ever, if you're one of my friends or my family members, I have definitely tortured you with this song. I play it constantly. It's on every playlist I have because it's just so fun. We love it. So give it a listen. Hopefully you've heard it already, but if you hadn't, you're in for such a treat. This is prime 80s Beach Boys. And I think it's a good point to make that, you know, without Brian Wilson, we still do have the Beach Boys, and that's okay. It's okay to talk about them and love them even without the creative genius of Brian Wilson, because they are their own entity at this point, especially because they're so split. So enjoy the first number one that they've had since 1966. This is Kokomo.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys.
That's where you wanna go to get away from it all. Bodies in the sand, tropical drink melting in your hand. We'll be falling in love to the rhythm of a steel drum band. Down in Cocoa,
Aruba, Jamaica.
Kokomo, because it's such a happy song, I think it's very befitting to talk about finally things are going to get on the up and up and we're going to have our happy ending with the band, with the guys, with Brian. So yeah, I'm so excited to be talking about all of that. Let's get into 1995. Brian Wilson was divorced in 79 and he meets his new wife in 1995 and was married to her until her death in 2024. So he's found his life partner at this point. He's gotten out from under his psychologist who was very abusive and manipulative. We haven't talked about him too much because that's a really, really long story. Very interesting if you look into it, but just know that he was a very abusive man. He was very controlling of Brian. And so getting out from under him was a huge step for him. He's also off drugs at this point, and he's ready to finally come back. In 2004, Brian and a backing band that is not the Beach Boys played a slew of performances, and the first show gets a 10-minute standing ovation. And in the crowd is Paul McCartney and George Martin, among other musical greats. So, 10-minute standing ovation. Definitely, we can see here that the world is ready to see Brian Wilson again. They've been missing him, because we all miss Brian Wilson. They've been wanting him to come back. And Elton John is going to say, "I didn't think you'd ever see the resurgence of the creative Brian Wilson again. It's so great to have this renaissance." I think that's a great quote because it definitely puts into words how everybody was feeling in the early 2000s with him coming back. I mean, we have the Beach Boys. We've got things like Kokomo coming out. You know, they're doing autobiographies, they're doing movies, all of this stuff. But something's missing, and it is the Brian Wilson that people know and love. They record for a September release, the Brian Wilson Presents Smile album, and is 13 on the U.S. charts and 7th on the U.K. charts, and it's going to get Brian Wilson his first Grammy. And again, this is Brian Wilson separated from the Beach Boys still. I want to make that clear, but Brian Wilson finally getting his Grammy. Thank God. That was long overdue. Long overdue. So we can see that he's inching his way forward to a Beach Boys reunion. He's going to make a slew of records after, you know, some Christmas albums, random things like that. The Beach Boys are finally going to come back for a reunion at the 2012 Grammys to play Good Vibrations. I do want to highlight this is not all the OG members, but we do have Brian. We do have some of the original Beach Boys members filled in with some newer ones. So I want to make that clear as well. But they're going to make all together That's Why God Made the Radio in 2012, which is their first album released as the Beach Boys in a long time. And like I mentioned in the first episode, something near and dear to my heart, they are featured in SpongeBob. Brian Wilson's backing vocals can be seen on the song Doing the Krabby Patty. Yeah, we don't have time to play that, sadly. I'm sure you would have enjoyed that. And the song Ripped Pants, which is me and my sister's favorite, is inspired by the Beach Boys song Be True to Your School, which is, I mean, that's also a great track. Definitely give that a listen. So their influence is everywhere. That's definitely something I bring that up because I want to highlight the pop culture influence of the Beach Boys. You know, we can talk all day, and we will in a few seconds, about how they've influenced the musical greats. They've made their mark on music history, but they're also just a fun, happy band. They're so joyful. Their music is so joyous. And they've been featured in things like SpongeBob, and we love them for that. They're so multifaceted. So I wanted to bring up a little bit of a goofier side to them as well, because we've been kind of serious for this episode. And then some notable covers. God Only Knows is one of the most covered songs of all time, for good reason. And it's been covered by Taylor Swift, Neil Diamond, Olivia Newton-John, David Bowie. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to do a cover of I Get Around, which is one of my favorite Beach Boys covers. They do a really great job with that. And Brian Wilson's favorite Beach Boys cover, David Lee Roth, is going to do their song California Girls, which is also an amazing cover. Definitely check that out. So now we've reached the end of the Beach Boys story, at least while they were a functioning band, but we've definitely not reached the end of their legacy. Nowhere close. I mean, again, they're that important of a band that we're going to see their influence long into the future, I'm sure. And I'm so excited to see all of the tributes that I'm sure are going to happen this year. I'm sure this year's Grammys will have a Brian Wilson tribute. How could they not? And I have heard that the Beach Boys are going on tour again, you know, with the remaining members of the band. So if you found your new obsession in this series, which would be my absolute dream, go and get tickets for that and see, maybe they'll sing Vegetables for you if you beg enough. Maybe you'll get to see some really cool deep cuts like that. But if nothing else, I hope you appreciate all of the amazing music the Beach Boys was able to set up for us. Even if you're not a fan of them, I think we can definitely all agree that, again, they're right there with all the heavy hitters of the later 20th century. And just looking back on this journey that they went through has been such an amazing experience, and I've loved every second of it. So I think the lesson that we gleaned from, you know, I'm gonna go back to Brian Wilson, obviously, because I love him. Lesson that we can glean from him is, yes, maybe he wasn't made for these times. Maybe he was kind of always out of place and misunderstood and not really where he needed to be all the time. You know, you can't have a Pet Sounds with every record, but his willingness to take risks and always be himself and, you know, have that confidence that he was putting out good stuff because it was his stuff is something that I think we could all use a little bit more of in our lives. So I think that we could all be a little braver today, maybe, because of Brian Wilson. And I'm really trying to take that lesson with me, especially in the wake of his passing. And, you know, live boldly, because putting tons of sand around your piano at 3 a.m., that's pretty bold, I'd have to say. Maybe don't take it too far, but we can all live a little bit more like Brian Wilson, maybe. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I've had so much fun with this series. I hope you've had so much fun with this series. Let me know what you think, what you'd like to see next, and tune in Mondays at 7 to hear the next episode of Put It In Your Pocket. This is Caroline. Thank you for listening.